Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am super excited today. I'm going to play a song, give people a few minutes to get on. We're going to pray, then we're going to bring in our co-host and our wonderful, wonderful, amazing guest speaker today that I am super excited to bring on. So let's get started, family. Welcome again to The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. Wow. Let's get started. This is Diane Reeves testifying.
I think that there's a time in your life when you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around, and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it and embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on with peace of mind and all that stuff. Just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is so things don't always go the way you planned them, but I believe God and time are synonymous, and through time God reveals all things. You gotta be still. I just want to testify. I just got to testify. I gonna testify. Oh, I gotta testify. When I look back on my life, I go crazy when I think of the danger I put myself in. But amazing grace always carried me to safety, knowing that I go back to the same place again and again. Lord, no one could ever love me the way that you do. Spirit, mind, and body, I surrender myself daily to you. Oh, and I just wanna testify. I gotta testify. I just wanna testify. Oh, amazing grace saved my life. Sweet the journey when you learn to love yourself, accept yourself, forgive yourself, believe in yourself, be yourself, yeah, with amazing grace as your constant friend. Say, I am free of anger, I am free of fear, and my mind is at ease. I don't yesterday made me who I am today. Yeah, I just wanna testify. My mind is strong. I just gotta testify. I can see. I just wanna testify. Amazing grace made my life. I gotta testify.
Sometimes you just got to testify. Wow, that was Diane Reeves, testify right here on the Love Journey. She was in Chicago last night. My daughter got an opportunity to meet Diane Reeves last night. She was so super excited. All right, we're going to get ready and center our mind and center our thoughts, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. Recognizing that this one power and one presence is known by many names. This great spirit, known by many names, that we call God on this line, oh, is so amazing. God is good, everywhere present, knowing there is not a spot that our God is not. And so as we tune in to the inner presence, the beloved I am, centering our mind on the unseen presence, the archangels, the ascended masters, the I am that I am presence, as we center our mind on the breath. You know, sometimes we forget to breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe, family. In this right now moment, I want you to prepare yourself to take a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, breathing deep into the diaphragm, breathing into the heart, and releasing through the mouth. I want you to breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. There's power in the breath. Family, I want you to breathe as we be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. Release. And last time, breathe. Be still. And know that I am, God. Pray. And release. Be still and know that you are all that God is.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship, with money.
To money. Good morning. You tuned in to The Love Journey, a love experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Ayana Venzant, a prayer of forgiveness for money. Wow. Good morning, family. I'm going to invite my co-host, James Gilmore. Good morning, James.
Good morning, love goddess.
How are you?
Fabulous.
Well, We're going to invite our guest in, Tony Burrows, but I tell you, it's a lot about the intended circle, but not a lot about Tony himself. So I'm going to have to let Tony tell us about who Tony Burrows is. I know basically he's a co-founder of the intended circle for the highest good. He's an author of many, many, many books. And so together today, family, I want to invite you in. I want you to invite and send lots of love into this amazing gift to the planet. I remember the first time I was invited into an intended circle and how amazing it was to align with other people. My intentions to bring and to manifest what it is that I wanted to manifest. And I tell you, I manifested my first book, and I manifested money, and I manifested cars, and I manifested spiritual characteristics. And it was so amazing to meet other people of like mind. And that happened in the intended circle. So I want you to put your hands together, send lots of love into this wonderful call to invite Tony Burrows into the call.
Thank you so much, Jeanine. So good to be here.
Yes. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Tony.
Morning, James.
Yes, yes. So we're up bright and early on the West Coast.
Well, I'm in the Rockies, and it stopped snowing again, so it's going to be a beautiful day out there.
Indeed.
Wow. Well, we're going to start. Let's start here. James, tell us how ironic it was for you to meet Tony and then to invite him onto the call.
Okay, well, ironic is one word, auspicious is another. So I was living in San Diego, and I was visiting, as I did on a regular basis, the metaphysical bookstore there. Not sure if it's still existing, Soul Connection. And I've been, you know, been an avid reader like I am. I came across Intenders material, and it was, you know, very intriguing. And the young lady behind the counter, I said to her, do you know this guy who wrote this book here? And I had one of his 8 books in my hand. And she said, oh, he's standing right next to you. And I looked around and like, how's it going, Tony? We spoke to each other. So, so anyway, we're having a manifestation as a theme on the love journey for this month. And, of course, Tony has been at this for 15 to 20 years through the intended circle. So what a wonderful way to close out our month by having Tony come on and talk about the art of making and manifesting your intentions. So that's how I met Tony.
Wow.
What is it? That was a fun one. I remember that too. And we had a good evening that night. I remember I always enjoy going to San Diego, and of course we some of our original intender circles were there in San Diego, because as soon as I left Hawaii realized that I'd been given this calling to take the intenders out to the world, why the first place I landed after leaving Hawaii was San Diego. It wasn't too long after that I met you.
Indeed.
Some things are meant to be.
Yes.
So let's talk about, Tony, let's talk about you. Let's talk about your young years. How did you even get started? Did you grow up in a manifesting home? Did you understand the knowledge of consciousness? I mean, who were you as a young boy?
Oh, my goodness, Jeanine. Good question. I grew up in a home where none of this stuff was ever talked about. There was nothing spiritual ever even mentioned in our where I grew up, in a small town outside of St. Louis in southern Illinois called Centralia. And I spent the first roughly 20 years of my life right in that area. And then when I went to school over in Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri. And then after that, ended up having to do the military. And so when I went into the military, I was very fortunate that I got stationed in Fort Ruger. Fort Ruger is in Diamond Head Crater, Hawaii. And so I had angels looking out for me early on that I did not even know about, because again, I had no spiritual upbringing whatsoever, and which has its advantages and disadvantages. You know, some things that sometimes it's good to be new to things and to be open to things, and so that just happened to be my upbringing. And so when I got to Hawaii, I fell in love with the ocean, and it wasn't too long after that that I realized that I had an interest in manifesting things and how the process of thinking works, because it all is based upon the idea that our thoughts create our experiences, and that whatever we're thinking today we're going to see it in our lives manifest in the next few days or tomorrow. In fact, nowadays things are manifesting pretty quick. In the old days, you'd make an intention and you'd be drumming your fingers forever thinking about, when is this thing going to manifest for me? And nowadays you make an intention, walk out the back door, and practically trip over whatever it is you intended to bring into creation. So it's just a speeding up going on. And of course, when I was growing up, that wasn't happening. It was more of a, things took quite a while. And I was just very blessed that, you know, when I got to Hawaii, I ended up buying a farm on the Kona coast of the Big Island, and 4.5 acres, and back in the 70s, thinking that I would know how to build houses and fix trucks and garden and plant trees and all those things that you do on a piece of land, because my intention was to have to be self-sustainable. And right away I realized I didn't know any of that stuff. I didn't have the slightest idea how to farm or how to take care of a piece of raw land. And right away I was at a party, and I met a fellow there at a party. I'd been there about 4 or 5 weeks and just trying to stay dry in a tent out of the rain and the heavy rainforest. And his name was BJ, and it turned out that BJ was a master. And a long story short, for the next 18 years, BJ came up and he built a little coffee shack on one side of my property, and I had a coffee shack on the other side of my property. And while he was willing to teach me how to fix trucks and build houses and do all those things and plant gardens. And while we were doing those things, he was passing along a body of knowledge to me that we simply called the information. And it seemed like, Janine, it seemed like whatever facet or challenge or issues or stuff I had going on at any given time, that some part of the information, some facet of the information lent itself to me getting out of whatever issues or jams I was in. So it was, again, over the next 18 years, he passed along a body of knowledge to me, and that turned out to be the precursor to the intention process, because
wow.
He would. And
so, when you started the intention process, did you write a book first, or how did you come about? Did you all start having group sessions, you know, meeting once a week? I mean, how did this intention process develop?
I had some friends that lived across the street from my mother in Kailua, Kona, Hawaii, and their names were Mark and Tina, and it just so happened that they had, like I said, moved across the street, and I met them a couple of times there, and then I moved over to the other side of the island, the Hilo side of the island. One day I was hitchhiking with my girlfriend Betsy in a driving rain, Janine, and Betsy's blind since the age of two, but she saw better than any of us. She was the most powerful amongst us when we started the Intenders, and we're standing there in the rain outside a little town called Keau, outside of Hilo, and I'm starting to grumble because I'm getting wet and the umbrella's too small, and she can't see, and I'm responsible for getting her home, I said, gosh, I don't know how we're going to get, you know, no cars had come by for a long time. She said, Tony, she said, why don't you make an intention? Why don't we make an intention around this? And so sure enough, we did. We intended that we had a ride right away. And it wasn't gosh, it wasn't 5 minutes before up pulls this blue pickup truck filled with stuff because they had been at the flea market, and it's my old friends, Mark and Tina, who lived across the street from my mom and Kyle Lacona, and they picked us up and took us 10 miles out of their way, took us to where we were staying at Betsy's house, and we invited them in, and long story short, we were sitting around a table on Betsy's back porch just talking about how we could help each other in our lives, James, and somebody mentioned the word intention, and we looked it up in a dictionary, and it said that an intention was a moving toward, that we were for making an intention, we're moving toward that which we desire. And I can't really tell you how it happened, but we just started putting intentions in our little circle of four around Betsy's back patio there. And it wasn't long, just immediately they started manifesting for us. So me and Mark and Betsy and Tina. So we started meeting every week. And of course we intended that our little group grow, again, it wasn't long before we had five friends join us, and we were doing this every Sunday night with the nine of us. Then one night, 35 people showed up. And we were in a small house at that time. And the nice thing about it is we always have a potluck, and they brought plenty of food. And so we had a tremendous evening that night. And one of the people who was there that night took it to the other side of the island, to the Kona side of the Big Island. And they started an intender circle there. And then somebody who was in that intender circle took it over to Petaluma, California, actually. And it started an intender circle there. And right after that, I took a trip to the Bay Area. And the circle started growing. And I was meeting with people who wanted to start intender circles there, and within a year there were 17 intender circles going in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it flashed across the country from there. And nowadays there's intender circles in places around the world that I can't even pronounce the names of. I don't even know quite where they are, but I must tell you that the four of us, me and Mark and Betsy and Tina, we were just four country people who just wanted to help each other. And we're as in awe of what happened with the intenders of the highest good as anybody.
Wow.
Fabulous.
I know that's how I met some of my closest friends in the intender circle. It was amazing. I got to meet Lisa Nichols, it was just an amazing energy in the intender circle. So thank you for being obedient and letting it flow through you, Tony.
Yeah, you're in Chicago, Janine?
Yes, I am in Chicago.
Yeah, there's been an intender circle on and off, and I've spoken several times in Naperville there. And because, again, I just grew up downstate, so I end up coming back to Illinois fairly regularly. But we've had some really good circles there in Naperville.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the intention circle, let's talk about what the mission statement of the intended circle was, because I love the statement that you say you intend for the highest good.
Right. That's the most important thing we do, actually. And this I can say to you and to your listeners, we always say that in order for our intentions to manifest, that they must serve the highest and best good of the universe, ourselves, and everyone everywhere. And we always put that intention at that statement at the end of our intentions. We call it the world's greatest insurance policy because we've learned that what we say is what we get. It's very literal. So that if we put this highest good clause at the end of the intention, that's the only thing we can get. And so if something, if it's for our highest good, for whatever we were intending to manifest, then it will, and if it's not for our highest good, then it won't. And that's a big relief for a lot of us because we wouldn't want to be manifesting something that wasn't for our highest good. And so, and just again, I can say this to you and to your listeners, but the highest good to me is just another word for God.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. So let's talk about the format for an intended circle. What's the thought process? You come together with two or more are aligned. I mean, what was your thinking when you come into a circle?
Well, when it
there would be so many people in the circle, and we would take turns, and we would just go around the circle. And if it was my turn to say my intentions, here's what I would do. I would first state my gratitude, Shanine.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I'm grateful to be talking with you right now, and I'm grateful for all the people that are listening. I'm grateful for everything in my life because it's just clicking on all cylinders. And I would just express my gratitudes for whatever I like, and as well as the gratitudes for any intentions I'd made previously in the circle that had manifested for me, because when you do that, it shows other people to get rid of their doubts and their skepticisms, and when they see other people getting wins. So we always express our gratitude for intentions that we made previously in the circle, come back, and that inspires everybody to keep the wheel rolling, so to speak. And so first I'd say my gratitudes. I'm grateful for such and such. And then I'd say my intentions. I intend that, for instance, I intend that I am happy and I am healthy. And if I needed a new car, I didn't intend to have a new Kia. It doesn't matter. Anything from the mundane to the sublime. You can intend for money and cars and relationships and jobs and all that stuff, because since there's no laws on what you can think, there's no laws on what you can intend. You can think whatever you like and thus create whatever you like. So then I finished my intentions. I intend that I have all the money I need to pay for all my internet hosting bills. And then I'd say, in order for this intention to manifest, that it must serve the highest good of the universe, myself, and everyone everywhere. And so be it. So it is. It is done. And then I just let it go, because that's a big key in the intentions, is to let them go after you make them. And one thing we added not too long ago, it's been a few years, but we after we say our gratitudes and then we say our intentions, and then nowadays we also say a vision for our ideal world. And because we know that whatever we're envisioning, that's what we're in the process of creating. So we say a vision. That I'd say my gratitudes and my intentions and a vision. And the vision might go something like, I see a world. Visions usually start with these words, I see a world where. So as an example, I see a world where every child born on this planet, from the minute that they arrive on this planet till the minute they leave, know that they are loved, honored, cared for, and nurtured by every other being who lives on this planet. And then I'd say, again, so be it, so it is, for the highest good. And then I'd say, are you with me? Or do you align with me? And everybody else in the circle would presumably say yes. And that every time everybody chimes in and says yes together, that creates a little oneness. That starts to gel the community right there. Doesn't matter if it's two people or it's 200 people. Doesn't matter. And then so I'd say, they say yes, and so I'd say, so be it, and so it is. And everybody would chime in, and so it is. And as they chime that in, then that's that much more oneness being created, because what we're doing in an intender circle is building toward creating a feeling of oneness in the group, at one with atonement. And so anytime you can get a group of people doing anything at the same time, then you start to build toward that oneness. And then at the end of the, after everybody's gone around and said they're taking their turn, saying their gratitudes, their intentions, their visions for their ideal world, then we would just make any sound together. Om, could love, could be anything. Just that we all make the same sound and same word together for 2-3 minutes. A few minutes, and that really gels the oneness. And you go through an intender circle. By the time you walk out of there and you've said your intentions and gratitudes and so forth, and then toned with and shared food with everybody, you feel like your feet are barely touching the ground. So I highly recommend it. If those of you listening out there, if you get a chance to sit in an intender circle, It will empower you and it help you manifest your dreams, and that will just make you feel good.
It does. It actually does. We do it every Thursday here in the one that I attend here in Chicago, and it is a powerful spiritual alignment, and there's power in collective consciousness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference between a mastermind and an intender circle?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm just roughly familiar with the masterminds, and I know they do good work, but I'm not sure actually how they go about their manifesting procedures and processes. What we do is, ours is called the intention process. And the intention process is basically threefold. And we found that if you do the intention process, everything you want starts coming to you, and you take in this piece of information that says, my thoughts create my experiences, and putting it to highest and best use. So the first part of the intention process is just to get up every morning and say your intentions or your prayers or your affirmations. It really doesn't matter which one, because they all work. We say intentions, and so I'd get up in the morning and just say my intentions. And if I don't say them first thing in the morning, when I remember to say them, then I'd say them. And so we get our intentions, say them once a day, and we found that if we're saying them more than once a day, Janine, then that implies that we're running some doubt, and we need to take a look at that doubt. And that doubt is oftentimes, you know, I can't have it, I don't deserve it. Those things I'm intending for, they don't make those anymore. I'll never find that thing I want, you know, and turn those doubts around and go back to the positive side and just trust that whatever it is you're intending for will manifest for you. So the first part of the intention process is just getting up every morning and saying those intentions. The second part is to get together with a group of like-minded and lighthearted people in an intention circle, an intender circle, every week or two, and share your intentions with the group, because we found that magnifies and multiplies the intention manifestations. Everything seems to happen faster, easier. The more people you can get to align with you in the making and aligning with your intentions and seeing your intentions manifest for you, the quicker and easier they will manifest for you. And I know there's people who said, oh, no, I don't want to share my intentions or my prayers with anybody else. But we have not found that to be true, simply because of the third thing that is the thing with the intention process, and that's back to the highest good clause. I'm ready to share my intentions with anybody as long as they're willing to line up with that highest good and say that in order for it to manifest, it must serve the highest good of everybody concerned. So so that's basically what happens with the intention process. Get up in the morning, say your intentions, get together with a group of friends every week or two and put intentions in a circle, and then line it all up with the highest good, and then get ready to receive from both expected and unexpected sources.
I am ready to receive from expected and unexpected sources. Good morning, God. All right, Tony, I want to hear the story that you and James was talking about. James said you channeled, and that's all in it. You said, well, I'm going to tell the story on the line. What is this channeling story all about?
Which story? What?
Channel.
I didn't.
You some information you channeled or something that James was asking you about, and then you said you were going to tell the story on the line about channeling?
The channeling was a part of your original.
Yes. That's right. When we first started the intenders, there were four of us. There was me and my girlfriend Betsy and our good friends Mark and Tina. And I'd known them back when they lived across the street from my mom in Kona for a while. And Tina had never mentioned that she had this ability, that she was a messenger or a channel. And I said, well, you know, the most interesting thing I've been doing for the last couple of years is living as a hermit in the jungle of Kona, And what the most interesting thing I've been doing is watching the banana trees grow. I said, what's this channeling all about? I want to see what happens. And so Tina says, well, I say a prayer, and I'll just tell you what the prayer is right now, because I say this prayer before I said it before I came on the air with you all tonight. And it goes like this. I said, I intend that everything needing to be known is known here this day, that all of my words are clear, precise, uplifting, helpful, and fun, that I'm guided, guarded, protected, and connected throughout this entire experience, and that everything we say and do serves the highest and best good of the universe, ourselves, and everyone, everywhere, and so be it, and so it is. And so Tina said that prayer, and then she closed her eyes, and what happened next I never would have imagined in a jillion years. Out came the most, she started speaking, and out came, it wasn't Tina, out came the most loving, caring being I ever met in my life, and his name was Lee Ching. It wasn't Tina. It was she was in a trance-like, medium-like state, and that's what we called channeling at the time, and so or being a messenger. And Lee Ching is the male counterpart to a better-known archetype whose name is Kuan Yin. And so we had the male counterpart to the goddess of compassion, Kuan Yin. And so right away, I started asking Lee Ching every question I could possibly think of. You know, Tina would she'd talk for a few minutes, and we'd have a spiritual guidance session after our intender circle, and for a half an hour spiritual guidance session, people would stay, and in the long run, people started thronging to our groups, and the rooms were crowded with people who were coming to listen to Tina bring through Lee Ching. And because Tina, she had in San Diego, James, she had been a world class channel, a very popular channel, channeling up in Del Mar every Wednesday night with back in the early 80s with a group who was called Love in Action. Did you ever hear of them, James?
I didn't hear of them.
Yeah, they've been in San Diego for a long time, and so she was bringing through.
Oh, yes, I heard of them. Yes, I did hear of them. Come to think of it, they have a couple publications out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and when Tina said that she had, you know, she had been popular back then, but big crowds were coming every Wednesday night to hear her. But one night she got, she had a heckler in the audience, and it scared her, it spooked her, and so she quit channeling, and she hadn't done it until Betsy's back porch, and I asked her, well, what's all this about? So she brought Lee Ching out again, and Lee Ching became the guidance for the intenders. And when, we really were just learning as we didn't know we were going to set up a worldwide intentional community. But he was helping us and showing us little things like, I said, what else can we do to enhance our manifesting abilities? And he'd say, well, why don't you put some gratitudes along with your intentions? And boy, did that change everything. Everything just jumped up a level. And we would have these spiritual guidance sessions. And long story short, Tina's still bringing through Lee Ching. And I'm I bring him through sometimes, too. And my books, that's where my books came from. Saying that prayer, and then being open to write down whatever it is that comes into my mind, because that's just how it works. One of the tricks of life is to set our course, to give a direction into what's going to happen next, and so we do that by making intentions. And we found that the people who get up in the morning and set the course for their day, well, everything goes good for them. They get the things they want. Everything goes smooth. Whereas the people who get up in the morning without saying their prayers or intentions or affirmations, and they hit the ground running, maybe they just have a cup of Starbucks and keep going, you know, well, then whatever, whenever, you just get whatever comes to you. But if you set a course or set a direction as to what's going to happen, then that's what happens. And so we always recommend that you set your course by making intentions in the morning.
Tony, I have a question. So you just mentioned about Lee Ching and the channeling that's been occurring, you know, almost from the beginning of the intended circle.
Mm-hmm.
What relationship does Lee Ching channeling have to one of your latest books, Get What You Want, The Art of Making and Manifesting Your Intentions?
Well, actually, I wrote a sequel to the Get What You Want, and the sequel is called What You Need to Know Now. It's called The Lee Ching Messages is the subtitle. And it's 500 pages of the best messages he gave us over the 20 years we were doing the Intender Circles there. So are you there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hello. Hello. Okay. Just making sure because
yeah.
I heard
yeah.
some noise in the background.
The sequel is called what now?
So the book is called What You Need to Know Now. And it's
okay.
I like, and it's the subtitle is The Lee Ching Messages, and I started collecting all the messages over the years. I saved them, of course, because they were so poignant and were helping me so much in my life. And some were short and some were long, but in fact, I've got a copy of it right here in front of me. It's I'm just going to give me a page number, and
page 77.
77?
Yes.
Okay, hold on here.
My message for today from Lee Ching.
There you go. Okay, 77 says this. It's your, we all need this one. It's your small self that keeps you from living in your glory. So that's what I do is I open it to any page and it just tells me what I need to know in the moment. And interestingly enough, I've been putting these Lee Ching messages up on Facebook recently. And I took some time off here for the last year, and I did some traveling last summer, but then I took the winter off and started to regroup and reinvent myself, because those of you who are listening out there, one of the things we're all realizing nowadays is that with the way things are speeding up, we need to constantly reinvent ourselves. And in my reinvention, I've realized that social media is what's happening. And if you want to get a message out to the world, you want to be proficient with social media. And so I've been putting up intentions and doing the Instagram, taking a picture and putting an intention along with the picture every day, and then sharing that over to the Facebook and Twitter accounts and on the Intenders pages. And so you can, and if you're listening out there, you can go to intenders.com and see some of these, some of our best of intentions, because that's what we want to do. We want to in the easiest format possible, like Facebook and so forth, we want to have people share these messages from Lee Ching and these what we call our intentions' greatest hits. You know, because some people aren't sure what intentions to make. So we set an example for them by just showing them the intentions that we've made over the years that have manifested for us.
Tony, you didn't cut my message short, did you? Did you give me all of that message on page 77 or just a little snippet?
No, that was all there was. That's it.
Okay, let me hear that message again.
Yeah. Okay, I got to look it up again. I set the book down here. It was, I think it was only your small self that keeps you from living in your glory.
Okay, that's a great one.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's your small self that keeps you from living in your glory.
Reminds me of that statement from Mandela.
What's 56, page 56 say? Someone wants to know page 56.
Page 56, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. 56 is, there is loving, uplifting light available to you at all times. I'll read that again just so people get that. There is loving, uplifting light available to you at all times. So just these are just the leaching messages that I jotted down over the years, and some are just one-liners and some are half a page. And this book has just gone out of print. I know you can get it on Amazon secondhand or through the publisher, but most of the I have it on my website as an ebook. So
let's talk about manifesting. What are the steps to manifesting? Is it the same as the intended circles process? Is that what you talk about in your book on manifesting?
Yeah, it is. Basically, that thing we call the intention process and putting the highest good clause to it, that's how to get proficient at manifesting. And, you know, that's what we found over the years is that it's just wise for us to get proficient at manifesting, to get good at getting that which we desire to come to us as easily and effortlessly as possible. Because if we don't do that, then we remain at the mercy of people and forces outside of us who may not care one whit about us. You see, and we're seeing that in our world a lot nowadays. So it's just wise to get good at manifesting. And the one of the keys to doing that is to take this piece of information that our thoughts create. Now, there's a lot of different ways to say it, Janine. Our thoughts create our experiences. Our thoughts create our future. Our thoughts create our world. Any way you look at it, our thoughts are creating everything. Everything that happens out in our world happened in our head first, with no exceptions. And so maybe we didn't catch that thought when it went by that we could have this or that happen to us because catching the thoughts as they go by and becoming more aware of the thoughts is what consciousness raising is all about. It's because there's a speeding up that's happening. And so we want to attune ourselves to catch as many thoughts as we can as they go by our perception. And we'll find that, yes, indeed, our thoughts do, in fact, create our future. And so how do we take that piece of information and put it to its highest and best use? And again, we thought that making intentions in the morning and getting together with a community of people every week or so and then lining it all up with the highest good, that really works. And for those of you who are out there listening, there's two websites. The main website nowadays is Highest Lighthouse. If you go to intenders.com, it'll switch you over to our sister site, which is Highest Lighthouse, the publisher site, which is my publishing company, highestlighthouse.com. And on there is a thing called the code. And the code is 10 Intentions for a Better World. And it's a poster that you can download. It's free. And the code is the best of our intentions. It's like our intentions' greatest hits. And I'll give you an example. The very first intention is support life. And there's a little statement after each one. It says, there's 10 of them. It says, I refrain from opposing or harming anyone. I allow others to have their own experiences. I see life in all things and honor it as if it were my own. I support life. And then there's all the rest of these intents. They all start with S. The first one is support life. Second one is seek truth. The third one is set your course. We talked about that. Simplify, stay positive, synchronize, serve others, shine your light, share your vision, and synergize. Those are the 10 intents of the code. And a person can download this code and put it on their wall or their bathroom mirror or say it every morning and their whole life will change. It's basically a guideline for enhancing your manifesting abilities. The code, 10 Intentions for a Better World, it's on highestlighthouse.com or intenders.com.
Wow. Well, Tony, listen to this. I think this will, you know, sometimes when we've downloaded the information from the Most High and we begin to walk the journey, we never know how it lands in other people's space. We get to know maybe now and then. But this is a lady who actually introduced me to the Intended Circle. And when I told her you was going to be on, she's on her way. She's at the airport, so she couldn't come on to talk. But she wrote the most amazing text about her gratitude that she wanted to say to you. She said, "Dear Tony."
Well, let's hear it. Oh, boy.
She said, "Dear Tony, my life has been changed because of the Intended Circle. You see, I grew up in a very atrocious situation. But it was through the Intended Circle that I was able to release a lot of the pain from my childhood, began to write books, and my first book got with Simon and Schuster, which was a publishing house that helped promote and take me to the next level. I didn't have a job. I was homeless. And through that first book, from my intentions, I was able to buy my first home, raise my son. My son and I were homeless, and through the intentions of getting us a home, being able to find a place for us to live, through the intentions of taking my first book to a major publishing house, it changed my life. And I just want to send gratitude. From that day to this day, I've wrote over 45 books. I've become a best-selling author. I've won major awards, and I've walked several red carpets because of the intention circles. And I just want to say from my heart to yours, thank you, and more thank you. It changed my life.
Oh, my goodness. Just so beautiful. What's your name?
Her name is book name is Nalena Kai, but her actual name is Lisa Woodson.
Mm-hmm. Well, you please thank Lisa for me. It's just positive feedback like that is food for the soul, and that's what we, you know, that's what keeps the intention process going, and that's what keeps people positive and uplifted, is to hear other people getting wins, and hearing other people who've made intentions and manifested their dreams. And as more and more of us begin to think more positive and to realize that we can indeed create the life of our choosing around us, then everything will get better for all of us. These are the days for that to happen, Janine. These are the days when people who have previously bought into their limitations and all the I can'ts and I don't want to's and their the doubts and so forth, they turn those doubts around and begin to just think positively. And I know my guidance, Lee Chin, told me, he said there's two creative phrases in the vocabulary in the English language. The first one, I am. He said anything you put after those two words, I am, you're going to get it. It's barreling down on you like a freight train. Whatever you say after the words I am. And he said the second phrase is I intend. Anything you put after that, it's coming to you. So you want to learn to be much more impeccable with what it is you're thinking and you're speaking, because that's what's coming at you. It makes it interesting. It's not life is not boring nowadays. We only have to watch our own thoughts.
Yeah, that's true. You definitely have to watch your thoughts. You got to be impeccable with your thoughts and impeccable with your words. I love it, love it, love it.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the Four Agreements. You know, I think about that often. Being impeccable with
me
my
too.
Words. Wow.
Yep.
Let's open up the lines. James, did you have anything you want to say before I open up the lines? All right, Tony, go ahead. I was going to say, Tony, thank you so much. I want to make sure everybody gets to go to your website as we open up the lines to see if anybody has any questions, comments, or concerns. I want you to give the Intended Circle and how they can contact you, how they can go to your Facebook page, like your page, and share your information again.
Sure. Intenders.com. And highestlighthouse.com. Those are Those are the main websites, and there's a website called the Vision Alignment Project. It's free. It's a it'll help you line up with our visions for our ideal world. And there's another at intenders.org. There's a website called The Bridge that'll give you a free course. Send you emails every day on how to get empowered with this information. All that stuff's free. My latest book is called The Ascender's Handbook: Two Roads Home. It's a guide to the ascension process, and it's available at intenders.com. And in fact, it just went up on Amazon, so it's available there too. And so there's just anything you're looking for with the Intenders, you can find it at intenders.com or Highest. It'll switch you over to our sister site, Highest Lighthouse, our publisher site. And then there's a wealth of information, free information there on how to get empowered, how to start your own Intenders Circle. In fact, we just put up our Intenders Circle video to how to set up your own intention circle. And it's about a 40-minute video that will take you, and it's right there on the website, takes you right into an actual Intenders Circle with the original Intenders and shows you how we do it. And so we wanted to do. We're intending to make it as easy as possible for everybody out there to take this information and empower themselves with it.
Yes, I do have a question, Janine. I was unmuting myself, but I got to get faster at doing that. Tony, yes, I don't know how many times you've been asked this question, Tony, but when someone asks you what's your favorite Intenders story or testimony, I would like to hear that real briefly before we open up the line.
Sure. We were on tour, me and my partner, Vicky, and this was about 5 years ago. We were on tour. We were driving up California, up I-5, and our first, we'd had several events. We were down in San Diego, then we went up to the Bay Area, and then north of that, we got into Redding, and as we're pulling into Redding, there's just sort of a steep hill before you coming up toward Mount Shasta and in that area. And my car, my green Dodge van, starts to sputter, and I had to pull over, and we had to wait for it to cool off. And so we got it, kept it going, and limped into a garage there. And it turned out that it had multiple issues going on with it. And so we had an intention circle that night in Reading, and I intended in the circle. I said, I intend that I have a new Dodge van, or a new used Dodge van. It comes to me freely, easily, and effortlessly. It has all the bells and whistles and everything I need to help me do my work. And that was in the Intender Circle in Reading. So the next morning, friends took us back to get my van out of the garage so we could go up to our next event up in Grants Pass. There was a lady who walked in, and she put a picture of a nice van right on the wall there in the garage, and it had these little snippets where you take the phone number off. And I had just missed her, so I took one of the snippets and I called her right away. And went over, it was just to her place. It was 10 minutes away from where the garage was, and there was this beautiful Dodge van, another Dodge van, a white one, that was a conversion van. I mean, it had the TV, the bed, the refrigerator, all the stuff you could imagine. But it was $13,000, and I didn't have but $1,000 on me at the time. So I sort of just made my intention. I said, oh, boy, I'd love to have that one. And I went up to the next Intenders Circle up the road after my whole green van was fixed. And in that Intention Circle in Grants Pass, we were in a yoga studio, Devakar Yoga Studio there, one of my favorite little towns, Grants Pass, Oregon. When I made my intention, I made the same intention that I did the night before in Reading. You know, I intended I have a new van, and it comes to me freely, easily, and effortlessly. And it has all the bells and whistles. And so during the break at the end, after we'd said there in tender circles, we usually take a break. And I was taking a walk outside the building. And one of the fellows who was in the circle that day came out and tapped me on the shoulder as I was taking a walk. And he introduced himself, said his name was Pete. And he said, he told me a little story. He said, Tony, he says, you know, I just inherited more money than I know what to do with. I'll buy you a van. I drove back to Reading and I got the white conversion van with all the bells and whistles.
That's awesome. Oh, my goodness.
Freely, easily, and effortlessly. You can put those words at the end of your intention as easily as leaving them off. So we always recommend you put the words effortless, freely, easily, those kind of things at the end of your intentions, because why not? You might as well. And the universe will comply depending upon what we ask for. We just got to get more, as Janine says, impeccable with our word in the asking.
I love Janine's phrase, Tony, with eloquence. She adds
ease,
that.
Ease, elegance, and grace.
Yes, ease, elegance, and grace. Isn't that sweet?
I love it.
I learned to ask for things with ease, elegance, and grace. Good morning, King.
Thank you so much. I appreciate, you know, getting the opportunity to hear this. Tony, I'm loving everything you're saying. I appreciate that. James, thank you for your connects with all the people that you bring to us, especially this morning, because I'm going to the next level. And I was listening to my minister last night talking about how the churches don't really have the faith that they ought to have. And my intention is to transform the churches across the globe, primarily here in the United States, because of the murder rate that's going on in our cities. So there's a scripture that says something about, we have to, in Hebrews, we have to let go of those elementary teachings so that we go to the next level. And instead of just drinking milk, we need to actually start eating the meat. As I was listening to your story from being in Hawaii, my question is, I understand that there is a grave, from a book I read, The Peaceful Warrior, there is a grave site of the great kahunas. And I want to know, my spirit is kind of telling me that I need to show up in Hawaii. Is there anything you can share with me regarding the energy that the Hawaii area has? And if you know anything about that area where the great kahunas are, would there be any advantage to actually making that trek to that location?
Absolutely. What is your name again, please?
Oh, my name is King, King Teasdale. I have an organization called the Souls of Life Society.
Oh, wonderful, King. Well, nice to chat with you, and such a good question. The Hawaiian ali'i, back in the times of the missionaries, they would send their children to different islands to have different experiences, and they would send them to Oahu, where the main port was, where Honolulu was, because that was the best port for learning mercantilism and business and trade, because the boats were coming in and out of there. And they would send their children to Maui and to Kauai to play, because just of the beauty and the pools and the beaches and so forth. And they would send their children to the Big Island to become priests or kahunas. And the Big Island is a, you know, you hear of all sorts of places around the planet where there are what they call vortexes, where there are certain energies where certain spiritual forces are enhanced just because of the geological configurations and the amount of prayers that those in the past, that our ancestors have prayed there into those areas. And because when you come through an area where somebody's done a lot of praying, you feel it. And in fact, that's what the Native Americans knew when they sent their young up the mountain on a vision quest. The elders had already been up on the top of the mountain praying and infusing the prayers into the rocks, because memories are stored in stone and bone, crystals and so forth. You can, that's what a computer is. It's crystals. It holds memory, and so are we. We're crystalline being ourselves, and so sure enough, the Native Americans would send the kids up to the top of the mountain where they'd already infused the rocks with the prayers, so that the kids would have a head start, so to speak, and be able to get in touch with those energies that had been prayed up at the top on the mountaintop. So the mountaintops on the planet are very special places, and so Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea, which is basically the two mountains that make up the Big Island. Mauna Loa is where I was living, the mother mountain, and she's the largest protrusion on the planet, from the seafloor to the top of the mountain, the biggest bump on the planet, so to speak. And if you go to the Big Island with the intention of meeting the kahunas or getting in touch with that energy, you could not help but find it. You understand? You just have to get there. You have to show up, because the energy and the vortex of Mauna Loa is so powerful that it'll find you.
Beautiful. I thank you so very much for that. I appreciate you so very much. I am super excited. Thank you all. Namaste.
I highly recommend, King. You go to, if you're interested in that, you go to Hawaii and everything will fall into place. And you know, we were talking about faith for a moment there. Are you still on the line? Is King still on the line?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, there we go. And what we're learning nowadays is that as we look around and we see other people who are just becoming new to these intentional teachings and so forth, is that we're all learning to trust at a much deeper level than we've ever had to trust before. And what are we trusting in? Well, we're trusting in that our thoughts do create our experiences. And we're trusting in that if we do make an intention or say a prayer, that it will, in fact, manifest for us. And we're trusting in that if we bring this highest good into the picture, that is a protector. That enhances everything and makes sure everything happens more smoothly. So I see this in myself, and I see it in people all over in my travels, is that we're all at some level of trust, and we're taking it to the next level of trust, because we've been conditioned to doubt and to buy into our limitations, and to have that first thought that comes into our head be a negative one that would never give us the results we're looking for. So we want to put our attention on thoughts that will give us the results that will always give us the results we're looking for. We want to put our attention on thoughts and intentions that serve us and our fellow travelers. So that would be my suggestion to a whole lot of folks who are living, who are listening out there, is just to, whatever you have to do is to begin to turn things around with your thinking and just think only positive thoughts. And if I were to give you any words of wisdom that you could write down or to remember as simple as you can, these four words we found have helped us immensely in our intention making and manifesting over the years. And so these four words are envision only positive outcomes. So envision only positive outcomes. And then after that, it just becomes the universe is user-friendly, and God loves us and wants us to, and cares for us and wants us to have the greatest experience we can have. And it's just us that keeps us from having the higher experiences and the more peaceful, enjoyable, safe experiences of our lives by holding the thoughts and to buying into the thoughts that we've been told on the TV or by our friends and our well-meaning family members and so forth that that do not serve us. So it's time for us to again begin to turn those thoughts around, turn any negative thought around. If you're listening out there, you can turn any negative thought around that comes into your head. Your positive thought is always equally available to you. So that's what I'm doing in my life, just constantly watching the thoughts. And when I see a thought that isn't working for me, I dismiss that thought. Get behind me. That's what I tell it. And then and if I say that with enough force, with enough vehemence, then sure enough, all of a sudden I realize that that's gone, and now I can replace that thought with a positive thought, one that serves me and my friends and will give me the results I am looking for. And again, there's two things that are come to the forefront of my mind when I think about doing that. The first is to a deeper level than ever before. And the second is to be open to receive from both expected and unexpected sources, because I find that, so many times we think that things have to come to us by predetermined channels or predetermined means. And that really closes the door to God just opening his arms and saying, here's everything you ever wanted. We limit ourselves with our limiting thoughts, you see. So it's time for us to just be open to receive from both expected and unexpected sources, and then the hand of God can come out of the sky and just deliver everything to you.
I got big smiles out here in Baltimore, big smiles. I thank you so very much. One love. Namaste.
Good to talk to you, brother.
Same here.
Oh, wow. That's some great stuff you shared. James, did you hear he's writing a book on ascension? He wrote the book on ascension. Did you know James' intention is to ascend? Tony?
Mine too, James. Is James muted again? Yeah, I think he's muted again. Yeah, my new book, The Ascender's Handbook, it's just a little handbook, you pages, $5.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it from intenders.com. It's a real helpful little book, and James will like it if he's interested in ascension, because, you know, that's where the intention process took us. People who make intentions over a period of time and line them up with the highest good, what do they do after they get everything they ever wanted manifested for them? Well, they start thinking about the inner qualities of life. How do I get in contact with my spirit? You know, how do I begin to think about my next experience when the cocoon opens and the butterfly comes out, you see? And that led me and has led us in the original intenders to explore what we call the ascension process. And that's the next level of the intenders, actually, the ascenders. And you can find out more about that at ascenders.org.
Okay. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Peace and blessings. Peace and love to you, Queen Janine and James and Tony. We welcome you to the Love Journey. We're so grateful to have you here. And it's so good to hear your voice. I just want to say, it's so beautiful to hear how the Intended Circle originated, because I was a part of an Intended Circle many years ago, very, very briefly. It was held in a bookstore here in Baltimore, the Mystic Voyage. And almost as soon as I joined the circle, the bookstore went out of business. It was a beautiful bookstore, and I miss it so much. But I just remember being in that group of people and having everyone do the processes, as you talked about this morning, sharing their intention, and all of us, chiming in and affirming them. And it was just so wonderful. And then the next thing I know, it dissipated. So I'm grateful to have you come on to bring it back up into my life again at a perfect time. And I just want to say thank you. I used to get your emails, too, so I'm going to have to go back on the website and start getting those back again. But thank you so much for following your divine guidance and just being a blessing to us all, for you and all those who are journeying with you, and for all the intenders on the planet. We do see everything happening with ease, elegance, and grace. And I just want to say thank you. I love you and bless you so much. And we hope you'll come back again so you can hear about our intentions as we move forward, that they have come to pass with ease and elegance. And peace and love to you. Take care of yourself.
You too. May everything you just blessed us with come back to you tenfold.
Thank you so much. I receive it right now. All right. God bless. Thank you, Janine. And thank you, James. Peace and love.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wonderful. I just, I know this is, you've all probably heard this, but I have a friend. She's actually a famous singer, Maria Muldaur, and she goes to a church in San Francisco. And that's what they're saying all the time. They're saying, I'm believing and I'm receiving.
I'm believing and I'm receiving. I like that with
I'm
ease,
elegance, and grace. Hallelujah.
Jack, did you hear him say that he was writing his ascension book and he thinks you might like it?
Yes, I heard that. Thank you for bringing it up. When I first started having a wonderful opportunity to co-host with Janine about two and a half years ago, Tony, one of the my kind of like favorite areas of growth and exploration and work towards mastery is the Ascended Masters, and we've had probably at least about 20 or more shows on the Love Journey where we had people who channeled Ascended Masters, had books on Ascended Masters organization. So it was very wonderful to hear her ask you that, and you let us know that you have a book out on the ascension process. So I'm definitely looking forward to learning from what you've revealed to us.
Oh, thank you. It's the sequel to the Intender's Handbook. Of course, our bestseller over the years, which sold, 100,000 of these little Intender's Handbooks, but people that kept asking, well, what's the next level? What's the next step? So the next step was the Ascender's Handbook. And so they're both these nice little pocket-sized handbooks you can easily afford. For the Intender's Handbook's $4, and the Ascender's Handbook's $5, and they fit together, and you can be standing in line at the grocery store or, waiting for Subway or whatever, and pick them up and just read a little bit, and they're just anywhere you open them up to, they're uplifting and designed to empower us and take us to our next level. I want to share an intention with your listeners out there today, and it's perhaps my favorite intention, and it's helped me more. It's got me out of more jams and more issues than you can imagine. And so I know there's others out there who could use this intention. And it goes like this. It's simple. It's I intend that I am clearly shown my next step in life.
Mm.
I intend that I am clearly shown my next step in life. And if those of you out there who are looking to know what's next, if you say that intention and then just be very open to receive an answer, you will. And you'll have someone new come into your life, or you'll have a job offer, or you'll have an opportunity just because you made that intention. The trick is to be open enough to catch it when it comes to you, because opportunities and gifts are being given to those who are asking.
Mm. Wow. All right, well, we're way past the hour. That's a great thing to really let us think about, because oftentimes people are asking, what is my purpose in life? So I think that is a powerful intention to ask, what is my highest and best next step? I'm going to change the word, didn't I?
Close enough, Janine, close enough. I intend that I am clearly shown my next step in life.
I love it, Janine.
Good morning. Thank you. I understand that you have a publishing company, and I got 4 books that I need to get published. Is there something that you provide that I should know about? And what do I do in order to move forward?
Well, I've just published my own books, and I've had major publishers publish 4 of them. So I've got 11 of them, and 7 of them are self-published. And nowadays, just put out an e-book. And that, you'll get some feedback, and you can still make changes on that feedback. And nowadays, everything's going digital. Even some of my best books nowadays, we're not carrying them in print anymore because people have the e-book readers, and and you don't need a publishing house. You can start your own, like I did. You can go to an outfit called R.R. Boker, and they'll give you ISBN numbers, and you can design your own cover, and then it gets interesting. Instead of turning it over to some publishing house where they'll spend a year to 18 months from the time that you sign a contract with them till it actually comes out in print. And whereas if you do it yourself, in a few months you'll have a book out there, and you're in charge of the distribution, and you get you can put it on Amazon, you can tour with it, you can do whatever you want to do with it. If you go with the main publishing house, they're going to give you roughly 7% of the sales, and if you do it yourself, you're going to get 100% of the sales. All you got to do is pay for the cost of the book, and so you'll be looking for a book printer instead of a book publisher, and a good one up in just north of you up there in Brainerd, Minnesota, is called Bang Printing. They print books. So check into them and then get them a PDF and do your own formatting and own cover and all that, and you'll have time of your life, and you won't have to deal with all of the restrictions and the long waits and all the editors who may not have the same viewpoints you want to change your ideas and all sorts of stuff. Don't have to deal with any of that with the major publishers. Major publishing is going out anyway. People are going to digital, so the major publishers are in a state of flux themselves right now because Amazon's changing everything. You can buy most books for a penny on Amazon nowadays. Wow. It's crazy what's going on. And all that hurts the author. They make it sound like, oh yeah, you've got a new book and you can put it out and sell it on Amazon, and you can. And I do some of that. And yet the Amazon is very similar to what's happened with Walmart coming into town. So the small mom-and-pop shops close up, and so the small authors and publishing houses and all that are being chewed up because everybody's buying from Amazon. That's okay, nothing wrong with that, but so it makes you have to reinvent yourself in terms of how you're going to get those books that you've got there, King, sitting out to get those out to the world. Mm-hmm. I recommend that you start out doing it digitally because an ebook costs you nothing to print, and you can easily send it via an email, and you can even have companies like GoDaddy who will, you pay them so much a month, they'll send it out for you and put the money in the bank, and you just have to send the book out physically if you're going to do printed books. But start out with e-books, and it's just a question of hitting that PDF button in your software.
Well, that's quite informative. I thank you so very much. Your family, thank you for
good luck to you.
This time. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me the time to share.
I intend you're very successful.
Thank you. Thank you. I received that.
Good.
Printing company name was Bang, B-A-N-G.
B-A-N-G, yeah. They're a reliable, good book printer. There's several around. I'm not saying there aren't others, but I've used them for years, and they'll cut it to any size. They'll do anything you want with books, and their prices are reasonable.
I use Lightning Source. I'm going to see how they compare to Lightning Source.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
All right. And I just want King to intend to finish the book. Just finish, King. You just got to do it, King, and you got to be committed to the commitment. Committed to the commitment. All right, we're going to get ready. So what is the last words you want us to know or leave your listening audience with this morning?
I'd like to tell them that each and every one of you out there listening, we all need each other, and that some of the simplest things that we were taught along the way, things like do unto others and love thy neighbor, that to go back to those, because those work, and to realize that we have this fabulous tool at our disposal called our mind, and that we can take the thoughts that come through our mind, and we can always just picture the end result from the beginning. That's a key to manifesting. And if you're those of you who are listening out there, if you just picture yourself being happy, being safe, being successful, being victorious, being abundant, having good things happen to you in your life, then that's what will start to happen. It has to happen that way because it's a law. What you think is what you get. And those of us who are taking that piece of information and putting it to its highest and best use are seeing the results in our lives, and it's our intention that you do too.
Oh, and I
like highest good.
So you got to say the statement so I can say yes.
Okay, do you align with me for the highest good of the universe, myself, and everyone everywhere?
Yes.
So be it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so it is.
So it is.
So, Janine, my biggest takeaway from the call today, can you hear me, Janine?
Yes, James.
Yes.
My biggest takeaway from the call today, from what Tony has shared with us, is that creating the life that we desire is easier than we ever imagined it to be.
Great takeaway. You know, my takeaway
What's your takeaway, Janine?
That it's important to be in gratitude. Gratitude is it helps assist you in being the best manifestor on this side of the planet. Gratitude. Being in a space of gratitude.
Aho.
Aho. And I just highly suggest that those of you who are listening out there, that if you don't have a community of close friends where you can get together and make an intender circle, that you do that, that you find some friends, you get together. An intender circle just starts out with a true community just starts out with a few friends getting together. Get together with your friends, put some intentions and gratitudes in your circle, and see what happens. And everything will get better in your life from that point on. If you just begin to come together with your friends in community and empower yourselves, you'll see there's something special that happens to the people who go to their intender circles and make those intentions. And actually, just as a closing note, our guidance Lee Ching told us long ago, those who gather under the umbrella of the highest good, that there are invisibles, there are guides and angels and helpers who rally to their side, invisible helpers who rally to their side to see to it that their first few intentions are manifested unmistakably so they can't miss it. Lee Ching called it a beginner's luck factor. So that the angels that they gather around those who stand for the highest good. So just to give it a try, make an intention, get together with some friends, and help them manifest their intentions, and everything will get better for you.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, what made me think about the gratitude piece was when you were saying Kuai Yin had said to add your gratitude, and how you said it increased your manifestation exponentially. And that's the one thing that I use to manifest is my gratitude. Reverend Ike always tell us, I double dare you to thank God for a job before you get it. I double, triple dare you to thank God for a house that you don't have. I triple, double dare you to thank God for food you don't know how you're going to have. And that's the thing that I grew up with, just thanking God even before you see it. And so I just want to thank you for really reminding us through Kuai Yin that it is gratitude that helps us to exponentially move into the place of manifesting what it is that we want to bring into our experience. So thank you so much. This was a beautiful call.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, yes. James, thank you for just being an amazing gift to the Love Journey, always bringing, you know, other viewpoints, ascension information, and all the things that you do to help bring great people to the community. Thank you so much, James.
My honor and pleasure, Janine.
And so with that being said, I just want to remind each and every one of you all that you are a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. I want to remind you today to choose love, because love is the only choice. I want to remind you that you have the power to intend anything in your life you want. Remember, your intention will be manifested through your gratitude. Get yourself in an intention circle today and remind you.
What's that call back number, Janine? What's that replay number?
No, woman, don't just dream your God-sized dreams, but I want you to live your God-sized dreams. And, James, share the call back number with us. I love the way you say it.
The call back number, the replay number for the day's call is 1-712-432-0990. The same access code you use to get on the call today, 772-719. Again, that's 1-712-432-0990, code 772-719. And everybody have a lovely day.
Oh, and that's what we're going to play today on Bill Withers. You also can go to the Love Journey Facebook page, and this replay will be posted on the Love Journeys page today, the power of intention circles. Yes, yes, yes. Again, with all my heart and profoundness in my soul, I want to say thank you to Tony Burroughs for saying yes to your intentions. Thank you so much, Tony. I want to remind you, you've been tuned into the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and that was James Gilmore, my co-host, and our amazing guest was Tony Burroughs from the Intended Circles. This is Bill Withers right here on the Love Journey. Lovely day. When the day that lies ahead of me
someone else instead of me.